It's good to see young people that flourish and achieve and prosper, and we're thankful for Miss Haley. She's a blessing to us here, and I know she's trying. Did she get accepted into the Air Force Academy? No. Amen. Amen. I know she was wanting to get in, and I know she'll do great things in her life. Amen. And I'm thankful that she's willing to honor the Lord with her life and the things that she says and does. So we're thankful for that. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, this Memorial Day weekend, a time when we come to honor those and remember those who have served and have given the ultimate price and have sacrificed that we might have the liberties and the freedoms that we know as Americans. And you know, so many of us take those liberties for granted, and it seems like here in this pandemic we have seen many willing to surrender their liberties and don't know what it has cost to gain those liberties and don't know how fragile those liberties truly are. But as we remember those and we honor those and we don't take one thing away from them whatsoever, I served in the military. I'm proud to have served. But those that have given the ultimate cost, those that have given their life for the cause of freedom, are those that we are here to honor this weekend on Memorial Day. But as we do so, we want to look at some who have fought and have done the things necessary for us to have the religious freedom that we have today. And we're going to look at a few American individuals who stood up. But we want to go first, and we want to look here first at the apostles. And if you'd turn to Acts chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 17, and we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And in our prayer request, I did forget to remember those who are traveling this weekend. We got the Haynes families traveling. We got the McGill families. Brother Steve and his family are traveling. They are in Mississippi, and the Haynes went to Florida. And probably no doubt many others in our church that are traveling. I mentioned her. yeah, we did. But remember those, and there's going to be other folks that we know are traveling because it is a holiday weekend. Just pray for God's traveling mercies on their lives. Acts chapter 5, verse number 17 says, "Then the high priest arose up, and they that were with them, are with him, and which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut up with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Our Father and God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this privilege that's granted unto us. We thank you, Father, for the liberty that we have, God, to proclaim your truth and to proclaim your name. We thank you, God, for the freedom to worship according to our conscience and according to our heart. We thank you, Lord, for being a Savior, for being a Prince and a King before us, Lord, to whom that we can worship and to whom that we can honor and to whom, Lord, that we can surrender all things. We thank you, God, for allowing us this time to come together in your name, to uplift your name and to glorify your name in all that we do. Help us now, dear God, to do what's pleasing unto you, and we'll honor you with all our being and with all that we are, that we might give glory and honor unto your precious name, for we ask it today in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. We say amen and amen. You may be seated. The apostles have been preaching Christ, but the governing crowd, the religious crowd, they didn't like it. When they came to the temple to pray and they seen the lame man there begging alms, and Peter and John passed by, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. They didn't have anything to offer him but Jesus. Amen. And when he found Jesus, and when he trusted Jesus, and he trusted the messengers of Jesus, he found out that Jesus was sufficient for his need. And I want you to know something. Jesus is still sufficient today. Amen. To meet our every need. I bet when the religious crowd, this ruling crowd, heard of this, they didn't like it because it was taken away from their power. It was taken away from their authority. It was taken away from their autonomy. And they were not going to have this. And they got Peter and John, and they commanded them that they should not teach in Jesus' name. They should not do this anymore. And that they set them free. But the next thing you know, Peter and John are back to doing what God has called them to do. They're preaching truth. They're standing where everyone is afraid to stand, and everyone is unwilling to stand, but they're willing to go there anyway and to do what God has told them to do. They're arrested again, and this time they're put in prison. And as they're put in prison, the angel of the Lord, as we read, visits them and sets them free and tells them to go and speak the word that he's told them to speak, and they go back to doing what God has told them to do. Friends, I want you to know something this morning. God has told us to proclaim his truth. He didn't tell us to be quiet when things got dangerous. He didn't tell us to be quiet when we got fearful. He told us to proclaim his truth. Amen. And we need to be proclaiming his truth. And when they found out they were doing what God told them to do, they got them again. They come and gathered them up, and they brought them to the high priest and to the crowd that was there. And the high priest saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, well, we ought to obey God rather than men. I want you to know something today. That word is still true. Amen. We still ought to obey God rather than men. Now, I know we've been going through a difficult time, and I know we've been facing some trouble in being able to worship and being able to gather and being able to do what we want to do. But I want you to know something. We need to keep preaching Christ. We need to keep teaching Christ. We need to do whatever is within our means to make sure that a lost and a dying world hears about Jesus. There was an unlawful command that was given that told them to cease and to desist. There was an unlawful command that was proclaimed that was preventing them from doing what God had told them to do. When our government begins to sit upon our religious liberties and our religious freedoms, we got to step back and we got to gauge whether these commands are lawful or unlawful. Amen. And I tell you, there's been a lot of unlawful things that have been done. People have been arrested for sitting in their cars to have a church service, to hear a church service. It's all right to go hang out at a liquor store, but people are told it's wrong for you to gather at the house of God, sit in your car and hear a radio broadcast service from your pastor as you meet together. Friends, that's unconstitutional. That is an unlawful command. There's nothing in this country that can supersede the Constitution of the United States. And we have been granted the freedom to gather and the freedom to worship. And there's no power on earth that has the right to take that away from us. There's no power in this country that has the right. That's not a suggestion that we might have. It's a right that we have been given. It's a right that cannot be infringed upon. And friends, we need to stand up against the unlawfulness of some of the governors. Now, we have been able to have service, not always the way we wanted, but we haven't been hindered in having service. We did have somebody call the police on us one time. Amen. And the police stopped by, and we happened to know somebody that knows somebody that called the police on us. And she was fearful that we were meeting in the church house. Well, it's none of their business. Amen. We have the right to worship according to our conscience and according to our dictates. Some of you folks are at home today because you're fearful of being here, but you're worshiping according to your conscience and according to your dictates. Some of you are in the parking lot, but you're worshiping according to your conscience and according to your dictates. You're worshiping God, and that cannot be infringed upon. The Bible says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. We need to keep on doing what the Lord has told us to do. The authorities told the apostles to stop, but they kept on doing what God told them to do. The government might tell us to stop, but we need to keep on doing what the Word of God tells us to do. You say, well, what's the big deal, preacher? It's just a little bit of sickness, and it's just a time for this pandemic to get over. Friends, if the anti-Christian crowd, the anti-church crowd, the anti-religious crowd can get their foot in the door, I can find a crack, pretty soon they'll exploit that one little crack, that one little movement, and they will work to do whatever they can to cease desist to the church being able to function the way that they are doing it today. It was the ruling crowd, the religious crowd. It was the crowd that was in control and was afraid of losing their authority and their power that pressed them forward and pressed the disciples to stop doing what the Word of God said to do. And you say, well, preacher, what's this all got to do? You're preaching politics. Well, no, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the Word. Amen. There's no separation of politics and my politics and my religion. My politics and my religion do not separate. They say, well, there's a separation between church and state. Well, if you believe that and you support abortion and you support all this ungodliness that's going on, I've got to question your religion. Yeah. Amen. My religion, amen, is the basis of everything I do. And when I step into the voting booth, my religion is the basis on how I vote. Yeah. The problem in America today is too many people have voted on this. instead of this. Amen. Too many Christians. You know what? We're a tax-exempt entity. But if it takes giving up that tax-exempt status to be able to preach the truth, praise God, we'll give it up. Amen. We'll tell the government to keep it. I read something here the other day. Some preacher was talking about there's a lot of stimulus money and stuff being sent out, and there's money available for churches to get. And one preacher said, "Be careful of that, because with the shekels come the shackles." Amen. You just always remember that when the government wants to give you something, there's a clause to it. With the shekels will come the shackles. Amen. And when the churches want to start pleasing the government and start pleasing the secular crowd, they'll stop pleasing God. When we start answering to the secular crowd and stop answering to God, the church has ceased to become a vibrant, a living organism of the thrice holy God, and become an instrument of the state. Say amen or ouch right there. But it's the truth. Our forefathers didn't fight and didn't gain our constitutional rights for us just to frivolously throw them away. We are honoring our military men and women who have died and sacrificed their lives in the cause of freedom, in the cause of our liberties, in the cause of our Constitution. You know, the one thing most of these politicians down in Washington ought to be arrested and tried for treason anyway, because they take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. When Brother Jim and I, anybody else in here serving in the military, and anybody else, Brother Tim and others in our church, and Brother Delbert, yes, amen, when we took our oath in the military, we took an oath to uphold the Constitution, to defend the Constitution. And this bunch down there today that's trying to erode our constitutional rights are committing treason, and God's people are sitting by and letting them do it. It's the truth. It's an unlawful command when the government begins to infringe upon the church's right. It should be the church's decision to take the steps necessary. Amen. As soon as they found out we were having church, I got a notification on Facebook. We need your email from the Cecil County Health Department so we can send you guidelines on how to start having church again. I don't need the county to tell us how to start having church again. They sent us the packet, and I sent it on to Brother Jim. And Brother Jim said, "Now you're trying to blame it all on me. We're not supposed to have congregational singing because of the COVID-19. Well, my lands, when Paul and Silas were even in prison, they sang praises, amen, and hymns, and give God glory. He tells us to do this. We can do it effectively. Does anyone here that's in here today feel like you're put upon because of singing and because of the things that are going on? I don't think so. If you do, you wouldn't be here. But that's our decision to make according to our conscience. Benjamin Franklin said that an individual that would trade his liberty safety deserves neither. Amen. If you're willing to give up your religious freedom and your religious autonomy to the government and allow the government to decide how, when, where, and why you can have church, then you don't deserve it. Amen. According to Ben Frank, according to one of our founding fathers. Amen. It was an unlawful command, but they gave an unwavering response. When they began to squish us in, we never stopped. Amen. We just adapted and went on. We just found another way and kept going on. When people got afraid and didn't want to come, we didn't stop. And I understand the fears. I understand the reality of it. Amen. But there's a reality in every disease. There's a prudent way. There's a prudent a means of doing things. God even told us that there's a time when, you know, you have to separate yourself from the people that are sick. Amen. But when people are trying to stifle the church completely, when a church, when people can't come and meet, you can't sit in your car with the same people you sit in your house with all day and all night because you're quarantined at home. You can't come sit in your car and sit in the church parking lot and listen to a church service. There's a problem there. That's right, Brother Tim. There's something wrong right there. Amen. But they didn't waver in their response. They didn't hesitate. They didn't think about it. They were just like the Hebrew children. When Nebuchadnezzar called them up to him, he said, "Is it true? Don't you know that we're going to throw you in the fire if you don't do these things?" And they said, "Oh, king, we're not careful." In other words, we're not gauging our response. We're not making up something that you want to hear. We're going to tell you where we stand and how we stand and why we stand. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. Our God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And if he don't want to deliver us, that's okay anyway. We're still going to trust God, and we're still going to listen to God. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. I tell you, God has told us to preach. God has told us to proclaim his truth. God has told us to assemble and to gather together. It's needful. It's necessary for God's people to get together. It's necessary for being fed from the Word. It's necessary for the encouragement. It's necessary for the help that we give one another. The Bible tells us to get together in God's house and in one with one mind and one accord, and he would show up and be in our midst and in our presence. Amen. I'm glad that we don't have to worry about answering to the government. We can answer to God. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. Their response was unwavering. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, he said, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, and let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." We need to answer respectfully. We need to answer earnestly, but we need to answer unwaveringly. Amen. We don't need to waver in our response and in our stance. I don't change my mind. We had someone one time that was going to sue us. They sent their child here to Bible school, and because their child heard about hell, heard about a place called hell, and was fearful of going to hell and didn't want to go to hell, they were going to sue us because they sent their child here to Bible school. What do you come to church for? To hear about the things of the Word of God, amen? Yeah. To hear about the truth, the whole counsel of the Word of God. Yeah, we teach about hell. We teach about heaven, but we teach about the one that can keep you out of hell and tell you how to get to heaven. That this family was going to sue us because of what we stood for. And they said, we didn't send our kid down there to hear about anything like that. Why in the world would a church be teaching somebody about hell? Let me tell you why. Because it's an awful, awful place, and we don't want you to go there. And we, man, I got all indignant, and I got all ignorant at first, and man, I wanted to tell them this, and I wanted to tell them that, but God said, "Settle down a little bit. Let your answer be seasoned with salt." Amen. And put a good a dose of the sprinkling of grace upon it as well. Amen. And we answered, and we got two or three responses at first, and they were going to sue us, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that. And finally, it just went away. Amen. There's a right way and a wrong way to answer things and still be truthful. Amen. And still be earnest and still not waver. The Lord promised that he would give us the words if we seek the Lord. And when he sent the disciples out in Luke 12, 11 and 12, he says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye may answer or what ye shall say. for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. You remember when Moses was afraid to go to stand before Pharaoh? He said, man, I'm not a plain speaker. I don't have good speech. And I'm just not one that's able to do this. God said, who made your mouth? Who made them lips? He said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll take care of it. I'll give you what you need to say. He said, I'll do what needs to be done. Jesus sent the disciples out. He said, when they bring you before the courts and the magistrates, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, I will tell you what you're going to say. I'll tell you what you need to say. I'll take care of it. And we should do the same thing. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We're not intimidated, they were not discouraged, they were not fearful, but they were faithful unto what God had called them to do, and they obeyed God. And we see in verse number 32, there is an unchanged commission, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. We have a history of people that have gone before us and have suffered for the cause of Christ. But they didn't give up when things got rough. They didn't give up when things got difficult. We read in Ephesians that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And we're going to stop right there for a moment. I want to share now some things. We have some people who have fought a good fight and have stood the test of time in defending the liberties in our country. We have some folks that have stood up. Do you know why you're able to worship freely whom you want to in America today? It wasn't because of the Catholics. It wasn't because of the Episcopalians. It wasn't because of the Puritans that came here seeking religious freedom, but they only wanted religious freedom for themselves and for no one else. Let me tell you that if you was told that they came here and they're the ones that brought religious freedom to America, you've been taught they lie. It's not the truth. Let me tell you who it was. It was the Baptist in this country that stood up. It was the Baptist in this country who fought for and who gained the religious freedoms that we know today. During the Revolutionary War, there were many Baptists that served as chaplains in the Army, in the Continental Army. As a matter of fact, George Washington and the generals that led the Continental Army were more favorable to the Baptist chaplains because they did more and they proved themselves more than anyone else. The Anglicans, the Episcopalians, they didn't fight. They were with the British. Amen. They stood for the British. The Catholics didn't stand. They didn't care. They were for whoever was going to win and just let them have their way and let them have control. Reverend David Jones, Reverend William McClanahan, Reverend Thomas B. Moynihan, Reverend John Gonneau. As a matter of fact, John Gonneau started the First Baptist Church in New York City. John Gonneau is the one who baptized George Washington, that Episcopalian from Virginia who heard that Baptist preacher and came under Holy Ghost, God sent conviction and got himself right and got himself baptized. He would sit in the Episcopalian services in New York City just out of respect and leave the Episcopalian service and go to hear John Gonneau preach whenever he was in New York. And finally, John Gonneau was able to baptize that great leader, that great man of American history. All these Baptists, pastors, preachers, and missionaries, and shepherds of men's souls came and were faithful, even under fire. All were deeply committed to bringing Christ, a word of spiritual liberty to those who fought for political liberty and against the tyranny of injustice that the British had placed upon them. Their ministry and their service proclaimed and procured the respect of generals like George Washington who testified himself that the Baptist chaplains were the most prominent and useful in the army. David Jones, a Baptist preacher from a church near here, the Baptist church at Garnet Valley, right up the road, about an hour away in Pennsylvania, was one of the most famous Baptist chaplains that fought in the Revolutionary War. When he was assigned to General Mad Anthony Wayne, and Anthony Wayne needed a courier but could find none, David Jones volunteered for the job, and he had a very special document that needed to be delivered, and he was made certain, he was made aware, he was made sure in no uncertain terms that this document could not fall into the enemy's hand at any cost. And David Jones, that Baptist preacher, that Baptist chaplain, that Baptist minister who got to preach under the orders and by the authority of George Washington to the troops at Valley Forge, and preach the message. He preached a sermon on the just cause of the war that they were fighting, and the just cause of the liberty that they were seeking. It's become a mainstay of enthusiasm, a mainstay of rallying the troops, and it's recorded in history. It's recorded in books. You can read about it. You can read the sermon that he delivered. He got to deliver that. But that man of God, and people get on the internet and they say, well, you're a preacher and you should not be involved in politics. You're a preacher and you should not give your opinion on these kind of things, and you should stay out of this. When John Wayne or Anthony Wayne, Mad Anthony Wayne, General Mad Anthony Wayne, this Continental Army general, looked at David Jones and said, this message cannot fall into the enemy's hand at any cost. This is the preacher, by the way, who on a mission and on a trip stopped in a tavern and found a British soldier enjoying a drink in the tavern. Went in and single-handedly took this did I say he was an army officer in the British Army? Did I say he was a high-ranking army officer in the British Army? He found him drinking there, and David Jones, he went in and with his pistol thrust in his back, took the man prisoner and delivered him to the Continental forces in Valley Forge, and he proved to be a very valuable prisoner who had a lot of information that was very useful to the generals at that time. But David Jones, as he received his commission from Mad Anthony Wayne to deliver this paper, made this statement. He said, I will blow the brains out of any man that tries to take it from me. Let me tell you, there were Baptist preachers who were willing to stand for the liberties that our army was fighting for, that this nation was founded on in 1651. Some preachers from Rhode Island journeyed into Massachusetts to the little town of Lynn, just north of Boston, to visit an elderly Baptist man who was sick. And while they were there, Obadiah Holmes and John Clark and John Callahan held a little church service in his house with this man, and two constables heard that they were there and broke in and arrested them. You see, in 1651, it was illegal in Massachusetts. It was illegal in Connecticut. It was illegal basically in New England under Puritan control to preach and to do anything apart from supporting the Puritan theocracy that they had set up. But these Baptists refused to baptize their infants. They refused to participate in these things that were unscriptural and against the Word of God. And as they met with this elderly Baptist gentleman there, they were arrested and they were taken to Boston and they were thrown into jail. And when they came to trial, John Callahan was fined £5. John Clark was fined 20 pounds. And Obadiah Holmes was fined 30 pounds. A friend stood up, a wealthy friend. You got to understand, 30 pounds in that day was a couple of years' wages to the average man. And a wealthy friend stood up, and he agreed to pay the fines. And he paid the fine for Clark. He paid the fine for Callahan. But Obadiah Holmes said, "No, I won't accept your payment. I'm doing what I have a right to do. I'm doing what my conscience dictates. And I'm doing what I believe God would have me to do. I would rather obey God than to obey man." And the magistrate said, "If that's the way you want it, then I will change your sentence. If you refuse the fine, then I'm going to order that you receive 30 lashes, one lash for each pound that you was ordered to pay." And they took him to the jail. And on September the 4th, 1651, outside the jail, right there on the Common Greens, there in Boston, Obadiah Holmes was made fast in the stock. And as he was made fast in the stock, he debated the magistrate who had ordered him to be whipped and ordered him to be scourged. And he debated him. And as they were laying the stripes on him, they say he preached from the stocks as they preached. And as they beat him and as they laid the stripes upon him, and when they got done and as they released him from the stocks, he said, "You've beaten me, you've scourged me, but with roses." Amen. And they said for several weeks his back was so raw, his back was so tender, that he had to rest himself sitting on his knees and his arms upon a chair. The governor of Rhode Island, when he seen the scars that Obadiah Holmes had borne several weeks after he had healed enough to be able to travel, he said that it was a horrendous beating that had been placed upon him. It was so bad that when John Clark went to England to secure the charter for Rhode Island to become an independent and separate state that could not be infringed upon by Connecticut or Massachusetts, who were trying to divide and consume it, and the Puritans in the country of England heard about it. They were appalled that these people who were seeking religious freedom and seeking religious liberty could do that to another individual and could have laid this burden upon this man of God simply for wanting to worship according to his religious dictates. In a couple years, 1653, just a few years after Obadiah Holmes was scourged and beaten there in Boston, Henry Dunster was the president of Harvard. You know, I've been to Harvard. Do you know that? Me and Brother Jim been to Harvard. Cambridge too. Yep. Yep. Henry Dunster was the president of Harvard. And Henry Dunster began to reading and began to hearing some of these Baptist preachers and listening and studying and debating and finding that they indeed were true, that infant baptism did not secure eternal security, did not secure salvation for anyone, but it was by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and being baptized after you had placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that you were saved. When Henry Dunster refused to have his newborn infant son baptized in the Puritan church, baptized contrary to what the Word of God teaches, and debated with the authorities and the magistrates, he was fired. He was thrown out of Harvard, and he lost his job. How many of you are willing to stand up today and say, "I'm willing to give up a prestigious position that I might prove the Word of God, and I might stand upon the Word of God. I might stand faithful to the Word of God." Religious persecution in America was ripe and rampant, and the Puritans were some of the worst there was. In 1660, just 9 years after Obadiah Holmes had been beaten, a Quaker lady by the name of Mary Dyer was hanged in Boston. She was one of six Quakers that the Puritans hung tongue or for simply wanting to worship according to what her heart and her personal convictions said to her. And she was willing to lay down her life. She had been sentenced to be hanged a couple years before that, but her husband, being a friend of the governor, secured a pardon for her, and she felt compelled to go back to minister to some Quakers who were there. And when she went back the next time, she had been in a fight with the authorities there for years. But the last time she went back, they hung her there in Boston. Friend, your religious liberties have come at a great cost by people who are willing to stand and were willing to fight and were willing to do what was necessary to secure them for you. In 1768, John Waller, Lewis Craig, and James Child were arrested and held in the Spotsylvania jail. They were Baptist preachers. They were held in the Spotsylvania jail. Where's that at in Virginia? Where's that at down in the area that likes to call itself the Bible Belt? Down there where everybody thinks they're more spiritual in the South than anywhere else and anybody else in Spotsylvania, Virginia. They were held in jail, and they preached from their cells, and they would preach as often as the crowds would gather to hear them preach for the cause of Christ. They wanted to proclaim the truth, and they wanted to stand. Why were they arrested? Because they were not a part of the Episcopalian Church. It wasn't just the Puritans. It was the Anglicans in Virginia who were persecuting them. When was this? This was in 1768. When did the American Revolution start? When did the American Revolution, when were the Americans starting to get stirred up about all these things? Right about the same time, they were getting angry over taxation without representation. They were getting angry over the government of England trying to tell the people in America what to do. And they were standing up and they were exercising their conscience, their right of religious freedom, and yet they were put in jail. You say, well, preacher, this is Memorial Day. Yeah, we need to remember that some people have went to great lengths and faced great opposition to secure what we have here today, the privilege to gather ourselves together and worship God. In 1778, a man by the name of Elijah Baker, and this will ring true to you. He was a Virginian, lived in Comet County, Virginia, the southernmost county in Virginia, I think it is. And he lived there, and he was a preacher. He was born in Culpeper, Virginia. His dad died soon after he was born. His mom remarried, and praise God, that dear saint of God, teaching her children from God's word the right way, raised up three sons that all became prominent preachers. Prominent Baptist preachers, preachers of the Word of God. But Elijah Baker moved to the eastern shore of Virginia, and he began preaching there and began setting up churches and establishing churches there. And the authorities, again, did not like it. Now, this is in 1778. This is after 1776. This is after the revolution it started. This is after people were fighting for our independence. They're fighting for our liberties. And yet the Baptists are still being persecuted. Yet those who stand outside of the mainstream government sanctioned church are being persecuted. Elijah Baker was arrested and put in a comic jail there, and he began to preach from the jail. And as he would preach from the jail, crowds would gather to hear him preach, and the dissenters would come, and they would throw tomatoes and rotten fruit and dung and everything else upon him and upon those who had gathered to hear him preach. At times, they would ride their horses through the crowds to try to run people over and to disperse them. But Elijah Baker kept on preaching. The crowds kept coming to hear, and we're worried about a little pandemic. But how about gathering together to hear the man of God preach, and the mobs trying to run you over, trying to do you bodily harm simply because you want to hear the truth of God's word? Elijah Baker kept preaching, and and they took Elijah Baker out of prison. They put him on a ship, and they told the captain, take this man and drop him somewhere. We don't care, but take him far from our shores and drop him on a foreign shore somewhere, and don't allow him to come back. And as they were sailing, a great storm come upon them, and the crew became fearful, just like a Jonah. And they looked at Elijah Baker and thought that he was a Jonah among them. And they were able to flag down another ship. And the other captain agreed to take Elijah Baker and to cast him on a distant shore somewhere. And they transferred him from the one ship to the other ship. And as the other ship began to sail in, the same thing happened. They began to have problems, and they too are fearing that the wrath of God was coming upon them because of Elijah Baker. Flagged another ship down and was able to get the captain to agree to take him, and they put him on the other ship. Now understand, he left Accomack, Virginia, and he was told, thinking that when they took him, he was going to be cast on some distant shore somewhere. But on the third ship, when they struck land, and they let him out, and they set him on the shore there where they first sighted land, as he journeyed, and as he found out that he was on a decent piece of land, and got to look, and he found a civilization, and he asked where he was, and they said, "You're in Maryland." Amen. He went to go on and establish a church. He's responsible for establishing, I think it was 17 churches on the eastern shore of Maryland and Virginia. Even though everything was against him, even though he had to fight tooth and nail the whole time he done it, he didn't give up. He didn't surrender. He didn't quit. He kept right on going. The Baptists petitioning John Adams, Moreau, Jefferson, and other of these lawmakers finally persuaded them because of their persecutions, because of their conviction on the Word of God, that Americans should be free to worship however they choose, when they choose, and where they choose. And it was because of these Baptists that our Constitution has within the Bill of Rights that stipulation that Americans have the right to worship however they want to, and the government shall not infringe upon that right. I think this morning, as we've been going through all that we've been going through, it's good to remember some of those. You know, we could go back and we could touch on all the old martyrs, Polycarp and all the old ancient martyrs were martyred for the cause of Christ. But here are some men in recent history. And, you know, when we're talking 200, 300, 400 years, we're still talking recent history, who have paid the cost, who were willing to do what was necessary for us to have the rights and the freedom to worship like we do today. And friends, I hope we don't take that for granted. I hope we don't let this pandemic and these circumstances keep us from worshiping God. And they encourage us to keep our eyes and our ears open. And listen, for years there have been people who've been trying to silence the church. Several states have had bills come before their legislatures to outlaw religion. I won't say religion, to outlaw Christianity. California has tried to make it illegal. I think it's California and where was it? Idaho. But California, I think it's Idaho, have tried to get bills to make it illegal for parents to teach their children Christian principles and Christian doctrines. And they have fallen. But friends, if they find a weakness, they'll exploit it. If they find a crack or a chink, they're going to exploit it. I want to be the kind of Christian that the disciples were. We ought to obey God rather than man. I'd like to be the kind of Christian that John Gannot and David Jones and Elijah Baker, Obadiah Holmes and son of these old Baptists who suffered to procure for us liberties to worship the way that we want to, in a way that we feel that we should. The greatest life and the greatest sacrifice that was ever made was when God's Son gave His life on an old rugged cross. When He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever live. And to allow someone that by the sleight of hand and the cunning of men to take those truths away from us and keep us from being able to preach what we know is to be truth and have to follow under the dictates of a government and what the government thinks, feels, and believes that we need to hear. We're in danger of losing the liberty that we have. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song of invitation. We stand to our feet this morning. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And I know this isn't a typical Sunday morning salvation message. But friend, maybe you're here this morning. And maybe you realize that you're lost and you're undone without Jesus. And because people have sacrificed for you to be able to hear this truth, you've heard it this morning and you realize your great need. Maybe you'd slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you've lost sight of what's at stake in the midst of this pandemic. What's at stake every time the government gets involved in our spiritual conscience? And you've been emboldened and encouraged this morning. Maybe slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I've been emboldened. I've been encouraged this morning. Pray for me. I see that hand. I'm going to stand for Christ. Altar's open if you need to come as we sing. We're going to sing a verse and song.
308, stand up. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foe. Your courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus. Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for being with us in the parking lot. We trust God has encouraged you today, has challenged you today, and has refreshed your memory and your mind today to help you to go on doing what He'd have you to do. We're going to say goodbye. God bless you. Don't forget service tonight at 6:30 right here at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church.